You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly webcast for wrestling fans. I am lifelong wrestling fan, radio broadcaster, podcaster, Al John Go. Thank you for tuning into the show, making an adjustment on the mic, just a little bit too close to my face. And we have a lot of great wrestling news to talk about, but I'd be remiss if I didn't introduce my co-host, as always, Dr. Deathmark himself, the man who is the wrestling historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir, how are you?
I'm a Dr. Deathmark from Dr. Death in Japan, mostly. So let's try to be specific. I'm not a mark of him in the Brawl for All.
No. Oh, let's not go for the Brawl for All.
That's the worst thing that ever happened to him, and unfortunately it's the one thing most people remember. But if anyone, I urge you to watch him against Kobashi and Misawa and Stan Hansen in Japan, or watch him in UWF. He was the shit.
You know, it's so funny. I was listening to the Hulk Hogan podcast with Ric Flair, Woo Nation.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking to myself, can you imagine just the level of talent that was back in the day? If you and I were watching a WWF live event back in the day, how many cool Hall of Fame talents could have been on that card? And it would have just been like a house show. I mean, you would have seen like a Jake the Snake Roberts. You would have seen, Horndorf. I almost got that mixed up with Hornswoggle.
Close.
Paul Orndorff. You would have seen Hogan. You would have seen all those great superstars.
Bulldogs.
Yep. Definitely. So anyway, Piper possibly too. I mean, depending on what era, you know, if we were back in the 80s, early 80s. So at any rate, we have a lot of great wrestling news. We are just days removed from NXT. We had a great, great show there. We also had TNA's Bound for Glory. And we had the Madison Square Garden show with Brock Lesnar. The Hell Tour continues. So we've got all that to talk about. Plus an excellent promo, a throwback promo of the week coming from Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik. Speaking of the Iron Sheik, and I mean, when I think about heel tag teams in the rock and wrestling era and Saturday morning superstars with WWE, I think about Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik. And I always thought to myself, man, those guys are legit. I mean, they are solid men's men. I mean, just crazy, crazy strong, crazy. And of course, we know now the Sheik is bona fide crazy, Iron Sheik.
Oh.
But but so entertaining and still entertaining on the mic to this day. And a sweet little promo as he talks to Mean Gene and gets his name mixed up, which is awesome, which I think Jericho kind of took that, you know, whatever Iron Sheik did and kind of did his own little version of it anytime he talked to Mean Gene and switched people's name around, just like Michael Cole. And
right.
And of course the whole part of the jabroni coming out, which he didn't say jabroni in this promo, but still, you know, jabroni nation,
I think, was a term they used a lot back then.
They did use it back in the day, but that term wasn't really spoken out loud in any promo until I think Iron Sheik did it. And then it became, you know, it was really his term. And I don't think that term ever really was used out loud until The Rock came out and started using it in his heel promos.
Well, you know, the Sheik, just to say too, is such a was such a talented amateur wrestler. You know, and there's a lot to be said for that. Dr. Death was a great amateur wrestler. Kurt Angle is a great amateur wrestler. There are a lot of great amateur wrestlers.
Brock Lesnar.
Sheik,
huh?
Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, wrestlers are real marks for the amateur wrestlers. And the Sheik was a legitimately tough guy. I'm not saying he could whoop everybody. There were some guys. I know Billy Robinson had his way with him in AWA camp, you know, which that's how tough Billy Robinson was. The you know, he would fight Vern Gagne all the time for AWA belts. I'm literally talking about something over 40 years old now, which is a new record for me.
But, this show is one of the very few that'll do that, by the way.
It's one of the oldest shows they got.
Oh my God. They're talking about wrestling back in the day, like way back in the day, pre Rock and Roll Connection.
Like really old.
Oh, geez. Well, at any rate, what I love, and by the way, just another shout out, if you haven't seen the Sheik, the Iron Sheik movie documentary, yeah, you should. It's so damn good. And I will hopefully, if I remember correctly, to put the link in our show notes about that so you can check it out on our Amazon link, because
yeah,
it is definitely a buy for me. It's a movie that I've seen at least twice, and I'll watch it again. And there's always little things you can pick up about the life and times of Iron Sheik and basically his resurrection, if I were to steal a Jake the Snake Roberts term.
Right.
That's being very fashionable right now because of his film. But Iron Sheik is definitely one to watch. He's the man. And a legitimate, strong guy. I mean, how many people do you know that can take those clubs and roll them around with his wrists and his arms like that? I mean,
how many people do I know? None.
I don't know. I don't think
I've seen. I don't know anybody can do that.
Yeah, that's like insane. It's like, what is he doing? You know, as a kid, I was fascinated. Like, are those like big rolling pins? I don't know what it is. You know, I'm just a kid. And then I realized, you know, that's basically a device to build your forearm and wrist strength. And I was like, yeah, I've never seen anyone do that in my life.
He's a big old hoss.
He's a big, thick man, I tell you. So WWE, NXT, and so much more to talk about. Let's do this real quick. At ProWrestlingCast.com, you can check out all of our great archived videos. Every week we update it, and we've got our iTunes link there, our Stitcher Radio link, and, of course, ways that you can support our weekly show. And one of them is by checking out WWE. You can subscribe to the WWE Network. I believe right now they're running a special if you click on for, like, 3 months unlimited trial, which is awesome.
Really?
Wow. Which is really cool. So I think I just got that. But you, in order to do that, you need to click that link there for WWE Network that is exclusive to ProWrestlingCast.com. The other thing too is WWE Shop, and we just had a flash sale. If you click that link the other day, if you ever get the WWE emails and they have sales going on, if you click our link for the flash sale, it'll help us out. They were doing like buy one t-shirt, get one free, and all this stuff that goes on. So you want to support our show, check out our link, and specifically at ProWrestlingCast.com, if you buy $35 worth of stuff, I believe you can get like a $15 coupon just using our link, our banner. So just click on that. And last but not least, highspots.com. And Highspots, last week we ended up playing a little bit of a shoot video preview, which I don't have another shoot video preview lined up this week.
No one talking about their vagina being lacerated.
Yeah, we talked about Mary Dobbins, crazy Mary Dobbins, in there, talking about her and Poingo.
Seems pretty crazy.
Yeah, doing hardcore matches and stuff that she would dig out of her skin, which is crazy. But that's part of the Diva Diaries series. I definitely suggest you check it out. I like Crazy Mary a lot. It's great to see her in NXT. Sure. I'm hoping that she's able to reduce her hardcore David. Wrestling.
Yes.
Reduce the hardcore wrestling and live a nice long life as a WWE diva at the very least. So
I have a feeling she'll do less hardcore matches with Madman Pondo in NXT.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know. Is Pondo, he's still doing indies, but
I get him confused with Sick Nick Pondo, Mondo. I get them all confused.
Well,
a lot of glass involved with these guys.
A lot of glass. Well, it could be worse because, you know, it could be Moxley up there fishing glass out of himself. So,
well, you know, yeah, Yeah, that's the hardcore wrestler that's made it for. Well, I can't say that there's Foley, but since Foley, no hardcore wrestler's made it that far, as Moxley, as Dean Ambrose. So
yeah,
big ups on that. Because hardcore, man, it's hard to break to the other side.
Yes, it is. I tell you what, we took care of some housekeeping. Let's move on to the main event, if you will, our main course, which is wrestling headline news.
This week in wrestling news.
We've got tons of great headlines. We've got mostly show rundowns. I will say this. I give props to my homeboy, Hornswoggle, who got sent home in violation of the wellness policy for the first time in, what was it, the first time in like a couple years? Is that what I heard? That
yeah, none of the wrestlers have done drugs for years now, so that's good.
Except for him. So
sure. What do you think it was? You think he's smoking that? No, because if you get popped for a weed, you get a $2,500 fine and that's it. And there's no limit.
Yeah.
So it couldn't be weed. So I'm trying to figure this one out.
Human growth hormone. Human growth hormone. Why? I don't know. That's just a joke.
I'd heard that like that really starts getting into the groundwater. Like referees start using it and like everybody's using it and it doesn't make sense, you know, or manager.
When I heard that about Hornswoggle, I have no idea what that was about. I really don't. I mean, what the hell?
I figured he was smoking that shit, but then I thought about it and I thought, no, they wouldn't pop him for that.
No, they wouldn't because RVD, RVD's on there. RVD kind of built that into his contract.
Yeah. Well, times are different now than they were even 10 years ago when RVD and Sabu got arrest. By the way, kids out there, if you're driving around, don't drive with your shirt off. The police are going to stop you. The police will stop you if you don't wear a shirt while you're driving. That's what happened to RVD and Sabu, and RVD was finally getting his title push after 5 long years of waiting, and they had to take it away from him.
I know. That was one of the worst things.
Oh, and don't hang out with Sabu in a car. That's the other thing I want the kids to know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
that's a big mistake.
Talk about fishing glass out of yourself. That's another guy that does that. You might fish other things out of yourself.
Well, when he went to get one time when he had his jaw broken, the story goes they took him in for the x-ray. He didn't want to go. They x-ray him, and they see a bullet lodged in his jaw. And the nurses are like, what is this? And he wasn't talking. He never told him what it was.
Dear Lord.
No, that's when he broke his neck. That's right. That's when he broke his neck against Benoit. Mm. You know Chris Benoit, the wrestler.
Yeah, yeah. The man that we weren't supposed to talk about.
I just try not to think about this and that.
Anyway. Did you get the before we go into all the really cool show reports? Did you hear the latest regarding Sting?
What latest? What's going on?
Well, according to the Torch, he made his first public appearance since Night of Champions over there in London at the Lyric Theater, and he says that, quote, he feels pretty normal. Considering how scary his situation was at Night of Champions, something serious happened to me in the ring, Sting said, but I feel good. Sting says he's going to talk to a neurologist face to face to hear exactly what his condition is soon. So okay.
He doesn't need to wrestle anymore, like we were saying, but I mean, whatever. If he went out on that match, I would think that would be so cool to go out taking two turnbuckle bumps, getting a fucking stinger, like, looking thing and just barely hanging on and doing the finish. And man, he came out like such a man's man, put over the young guy, did everything right. You know, I don't know. I he doesn't need to wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
But they'll try to get him for Texas. They want to stack the deck and they might have a hard time doing that.
Hmm. He says also in regards to Hulk Hogan in Starrcade 97, quote, Hulk Hogan is the greatest chess player of all time. He said with a smile on his face. He felt that there was quite a fair amount of politics in practice on the night. And although everyone knew what was going to go down, the feeling for what actually was going to happen was very different. Sting didn't spend too much time talking to anyone that night. And Bischoff confirms this on Sting's DVD. There's further discussion of the same topic in the upcoming Sting Into the Light home video. And Sting said, It was in wrestling history. So what's in the past will stay in the past.
Yeah, that's a polite way of saying that, you know, Hulk Hogan pulled the creative control card on the finish, a finish nobody wanted to see, a finish that Bischoff himself agrees was not the right decision for business. And to me, set the business in a different direction. And everybody said, maybe I'll watch. Well, Steve Austin, let me watch this, because Sting didn't win the belt like I thought he would. And it seemed like the tide turned then. They had another great year, 1998. They made money hand over fist, Nitro. But that Sting thing started a lot of people like, they treat their fans kind of weird. And it's really Hogan, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting situation there because, you know, Hogan, I believe on the latest podcast, as I alluded to, Woo Nation, actually right. says that he really didn't have anything to do with that, if I remember correctly, or that he, you know, in terms of the politics, if I remember correctly, I just listened to it. So,
I don't know. I should have said this when we were talking about him a couple of times straight up over the last month ago. He is one of the greatest wrestlers in the history of the world. The way he works in politics and maneuvers, he's absolutely incredible. He manipulates crowds. He manipulates people. He manipulates fans. He manipulates enemies. He's extraordinarily good at working, and he's always on the work. He never breaks character, and he never will. And, you know, all about the piss and vinegar I had in anger towards him, you know, I listened to it and I'm like, oh, what a nice guy. And I'm like, ah, it's Hulk Hogan getting me again. But the fact of the matter, Al John, I'll make this prediction now, no matter how disgusting his comments were, and it looks like he's doing a little better in his case against Deadspin, by the way. I have a funny feeling he's going to win that thing. I also have a funny feeling that he will end up coming back. I got a feeling I think the public's going to let him back in again. I can't believe it, but something tells me that a year or two will go by, he'll come back, and everything will be – I just have a funny feeling.
Yeah, this was kind of a slap in the wrist. I do believe that, too. I think that enough people in the business believe he's trying to be sincere. So take that, you know, for what it is. But I believe they're going to slowly ease him back into programming. You know, we just saw the recent rivalries Lita versus Trish on the WWE Network, which I saw, which was brilliant, by the way. Mm-hmm. And they still have the Hogan Piper rivalry on there, and it's part of the intro of the actual show. They didn't edit that out.
In fairness, they just re-added it back. They took it away and they put it back in the last week.
Okay.
So that's been re-added. They never took down WrestleMania, but like that. And yeah, all their Hogan stuff's back up. Okay. But he wants to be back in the Hall of Fame, which is there is no Hall of Fame. Oh, I tell you what, Al John, do you want to drive to the WWE Hall of Fame with me?
Sure. Where is it?
Oh, they don't have one. Do you want to drive to the Baseball Hall of Fame? That's in Canton, Ohio. Do you want to drive there?
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's go.
We can get in the car and drive there, although I really don't want to. But we can't drive to the WWE Hall of Fame because that's the TV show.
Yeah.
So he wants, what that all means is he wants them to say, it's okay, we understand. That's what that really is.
Yeah. Well, and we know that. I mean,
a complex individual, to say the least.
Well, speaking of complex, how about this? Jimmy snuck a court hearing.
Oh, God.
Bypass. Here comes
the dark cast. The dark cast. Dark shadows are coming down.
It is. I know, right? We have Halloween shows playing, by the way, folks. So stay tuned. Both sides to Snuka's murder trial agreed to bypass preliminary hearing during a court case Wednesday morning in Allentown, Pennsylvania. No trial date has been set, though, in the case of Snuka being charged with the murder of his 1983 girlfriend, Nancy Argentino. The Lee County District Attorney's Office wanted to bypass the hearing because they believe they have enough evidence from the grand jury's review of the 83 case to prosecute Snuka in this cold case that was reopened. The defense team also agreed to bypass the hearing because Snuka is dying from stomach cancer and they want to attempt to clear his name as soon as possible. The sooner this gets through a jury, the better, quote Snuka's attorney, Robert Kirwin, outside of the courthouse. Mr. Snuka, if his health continues to deteriorate, would like to leave this world knowing that he's an innocent man, not having everyone think he's guilty. So we're looking for a quick trial as well for his sake and as well for his reputation.
Well, there's a good chance they won't indict him. But there's a good chance they will. They want to get it done quick. This is just vindication for the family. I'm not so sure how good his lawyer is. Some of their wording is kind of odd.
Yeah, Snook is scheduled to begin his chemo treatment for stomach cancer in the next week.
So. Yeah, I don't know, man. All I can tell you is a little girl died, and it's really sad, you know. And I don't like to think about him the same way I don't like to think about another wrestler that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not funny for me to make – I'm not trying to make light of somebody being dead. I shouldn't do that.
Well, the Divas are coming back. Total Divas, Total Divas season 4, or despite season 4's low ratings, are lower than average. E is bringing back the show for a 5th season in early 2016. And the WWE are shaking up the cast in hopes of drawing more viewers. Mainstays Bella Twins will remain. Central figures along with Natalya, Eva Marie, Paige, Rosa Mendez, and Alicia Fox. Adding to the cast will be Tough Enough Mandy, the female runner-up to Sarah Lee, who made it to the end of the show despite questionable judicial decision-making. In the press release, the upcoming season, Mandy, the runner-up on the most recent edition of Tough Enough, is joining the Divas, bringing her own flavor to the already dynamic group, looking to prove she belongs amongst the Diva veterans. Good luck with that. Nikki Bella recently losing the championship title. The cast members of the Divas are all vying to claim the title of Divas champion. Production is currently ongoing, leading to the 2016 return. By the way, like I said, I'm still a huge fan of Total Divas, and right, my wife and I watch it. It's a lot of fun.
I keep it on in the background at times just to see what it's all about. It seems like a straight up E show, which, you know, we don't really watch stuff like that too much. It seems less of a wrestling show than some things. I will say the ratings are much more consistent than Tough Enough. They consistently were over 1 million. Tough Enough's consistently at 900,000. So I think it's probably a good show for E to have on their channel. And I think it's probably a good show for them to have to spread to different areas, even if it's a slight money loser, from what I understand from their earnings report.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of TV, did you know that Edge, Adam Copeland, is featured on the new season of The Flash on CW?
I did hear about that. Well, that's good for Adam. You know, he doesn't live in L.A. or anything. He's a North Carolina boy now, which is cool. You know, I've done that too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm glad to see him doing things. He's a real class act. I love hearing him on podcasts. I think, you know, he's a very good wrestler. I don't think I like him as much as some people. He was sort of one of the first internet-loved wrestlers, but...
I'm a big fan of Edge, and I thought his mic skills were just as good as his skills in the ring. I think, you know, that whole, you know, Smash Crash TV situation, you know, with, you know, post Attitude Era, he was one of the superstars that definitely made a name for himself and gone too soon. And what I mean to say by gone too soon is gone from the business, not gone as in passed away.
He is alive.
But he is alive and well and in The Flash as the brand new character, Adam Smasher. You know, congratulations. So it's good that he's now part of the DC comic universe in that respect, and he's still acting. So congratulations to Edge. And I like the show, The Flash. I have yet to see it, but I look forward to seeing it. So that is just some of the wrestling headline news. Moving into our thoughts about some of the critical shows from this week. Shall we go into the MSG WWE show?
If that's something that you would like to do, well, I mean, I guess you're wondering what I thought of it.
Yeah, what are your initial thoughts of Madison Square Garden? Because I already know what your thoughts are because you posted it on Facebook.
But our message board.
So on the 3rd of October, the big MSG WWE Network special was done. This particular live event was produced by Vince McMahon, from my understanding.
Uh-huh.
And it featured Lesnar versus Big Show as the semi-main, Cena versus Seth Rollins in a cage, Jericho versus Owens in a IWC title match, and the Dudleys versus New Day for the tag titles.
The IWC only gets 8 minutes. Hurry up.
I've got the rundown here. So go ahead. What are your thoughts?
Here's my overall thoughts of it. You know, I was really pumped for it the same way I was really pumped for the Japan show, Beast in the East, and not from like the Dokken album.
The Dokken.
Which is definitely maybe just their third or fourth best album, really. Maybe even fifth. I felt so excited to watch it, and and I was let down. And I made a really critical error in the midst of this. What happened was we watched, you know, it felt a lot like a house show. It opened up with, didn't it open up with Sheamus against Randy Orton?
It did.
Oh, my God.
Randy Orton versus.
Watch that again? I mean, please. I know they're good, but.
Randy Orton and Dolph Ziggler versus Rusev and Sheamus.
Right. They put the two matches together. So, yeah. So, I'm watching it with Terry, and I say to Terry, oh, good. They took two of them, the two least favorite matches I was going to watch, and put them into one match.
Yes.
And actually, it had good crowd heat, and the crowd seemed to be into it, which is something to remember.
Yeah.
So, it had good crowd heat. They did a good little match. Then they had a weird thing at the end where Sheamus got on top of Rusev and – you know, that was all kind of weird, but it looked like a really good house show opener,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I can't believe they have wasted Randy Orton. So I'm so on board with you now. They have so wasted Randy Orton.
I tell you,
we can do a whole show where you name everyone on the roster that appears on Raw. And I can tell you how they screwed each one of them up.
Yeah.
You know, Cesaro, Owens, whoever you want to. But Orton, McMahon doesn't listen to his crowd anymore. I don't know what it is. I'm starting to think he doesn't like a portion of his crowd anymore.
I don't know, because I think Randy Orton is an MVP for so many reasons. He keeps himself healthy. He is honestly, I believe I can call him. I think he's an internet darling because of all the memes, and people love making Randy Orton memes, and people really dig his work in the ring.
The casual fans like him a lot.
Casual fans love him. They still pop. They buy his Viper merchandise. And the internet guys like him because he doesn't take any shit from anybody. You know,
he seems legit in his scumbagness.
Yeah. He's in, and, I think he's great, you know, and underutilized to the nth degree, Mr. Randy Orton. And I think it's just because he has to play second fiddle to John Cena.
Well, but I think it's because Cena and Orton are trying to be put into the back seat, so to speak, for everyone else. But the thing is, when you're over, you have to the booker has to go with that. Who was over that they didn't push? Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens at first, but not later. Cesaro started to get over, and they killed that dead with a losing streak.
Which I hear he's in the damn doghouse. Why is he in the doghouse?
Because he's from Sweden.
No, he says Switzerland, yes? Switzerland?
Yeah, I was making a mean joke.
Oh, okay.
It was a Scandinavian joke. Do you get it?
Yeah, I get it now. Yeah. No, but my concern is that it was reported that he had some backstage interaction that caused him to be in the doghouse.
I never heard that.
Was according to Dave Meltzer.
What?
Yes.
That is true.
So, I mean, I don't know if, and that's what I read. I think it was on like Wrestling Inc. It said they quoted Dave Meltzer as saying that there was an alleged backstage incident that led to his D-push. And I don't know what that. You may have to do some research.
I'll push them anyway.
Well, and that's exactly what I said when I saw that article. I'm like, what push was he getting? Because, you know, up until recently,
none.
He wasn't really getting a push. And then he got a little bit of this push is becoming. And for me, I think he's taken the place of a Kane, which is like, you know, a formidable,
right,
you know, mid-card, you know, upper mid-card guy that people beat in order to get to the boss. Right. So,
yes.
But even then, that role has been reduced. So I don't know what the situation is, but nonetheless, I thought the match was, yeah, okay. Open starting, you know, house show match. Orton and Ziggler comes out on top. Neville and Stardust with Neville winning. Yeah, that was
okay. The crowd died. Expected. MSG's a funny crowd, you know, and now they die for a long period of the show is the weirdest thing.
I think they died because they don't like the superhero gimmicks.
Okay.
Because if you look at Stardust, they like,
yeah,
they like Cody Rhodes. They
plain and simple. I've been saying this for months, and they proved it on the NXT show that we're going to review soon in this same show, an episode. He needs to be Cody Rhodes, the man. the man Cody Rhodes, not Cody Rhodes before, I'm a darling, I got nice legs, I got a mustache bullshit, not Stardust, not Gold Dust's brother. He needs to be straight up Cody Rhodes, the son of Dusty Rhodes, who's a badass, youngish dude from Texas. That's who he is. Yep. He just needs to be Cody Rhodes. Nobody cares about Stardust. God bless the IWC. Nobody cares about Neville. I know he was awesome at NXT. Okay, I watch TV or apps, you know, and I know that. But they won't push someone that's short. And that, and this crowd proved it. They listened to the New York crowd the most, especially in the Garden. And when something dies at the Garden or something works at the Garden, that's where Vince goes, because his dad loved the Garden and everything was based around working and playing the Garden once a month. And he still goes by that. That's probably the most interesting catch of this show.
And not only that, but, you know, Carnegie Hall, If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Same goes for MSG. If you can get over in MSG, you can get over anywhere. And clearly the gimmicks aren't working out for them. And it only works, you know, to a certain degree. And I think that I understand the superhero gimmick because I am a comic book nerd. I love comic books. But even I don't get it. I think that you just need to make Neville that Ring of Honor badass guy that, you know, that with that kind of moveset, you just need to get rid of the gimmicks. But
you know what he needs? If I were the booker, I would say, Cody, don't wear the Speedos. All right. Wear some like different kind of like pants, boots look, tough Texas looking dude. Give you straight up promo, kind of like he did when his dad won the Hall of Fame, kind of like he did just the other night in NXT. And maybe wrestle a little bit more brawly like Magnum TA did. You know I'm an NWA mark. I know, guys. I say it every week about...
Yeah, but he doesn't look like Magnum TA. I don't know if that would be...
No. Work like Magnum TA.
We could work for like Magnum TA for sure.
Do the belly, like not the belly-to-belly suplex be his finisher, but work like that type of guy, rugged Texas baby face, high mid-card. That's easy. I don't know why they don't do that. They have the sip. I know he doesn't want to use his dad as sympathy, but he sort of already does in its own way because life is just like that.
Well, I mean, come on. That's exactly what Rey Mysterio did after Chavo Guerrero did after the passing of Eddie.
I don't know if Rey wanted to do that. Rey, I think Rey kind of was disturbed by that a little bit. I'm guessing. I don't know. I know that was a controversial period of time. We can talk in the depth into that one day, but I will tell you that I didn't watch as much after that shit happened. That bothered me a lot. I was like thinking, you know, maybe this is this company's messed up using Eddie Guerrero in that way. Talking about him going to hell and all this crap. Nobody wanted to hear that either,
but
I don't know if Ray was on board with that. Dedicating it to Eddie, yes.
Dedicating to Eddie, that's what I'm referring to in particular, but I understand
you. That just brought up that memory of that awful WrestleMania season of 2006 where they, you know, it was just so shocking when Eddie died.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving forward here, we have Heyman and cutting a promo with Brock Lesnar with Renee Young. And I seem to remember Paul Heyman saying something talking about NXT, which was interesting because he actually says here at NXT, I think he actually made a faux pas. Correct me if I'm wrong, IWC, because I know you will.
Oh, correct.
But it was still a great promo nonetheless. As usual, you know, Paul Heyman in his hometown, New York. Of course, he was definitely punching it up for the local crowd.
The crowd still felt at that point to me weird because he got him, but he didn't get him like he gets a lot of them. And I noticed he had to work a little harder to get him. And I thought, damn. So with this MSG crowd, man, they're still fucking hard to get. So, which led to what's the next match? Owens.
Next match is actually the Divas. So Charlotte and Lynch dropped off the ring apron when Paige went in for a tag because it was Team Bella, Nikki and Brie and Alicia Fox. And I thought this did a tremendous job to that storyline of moving it, propelling it forward, because we knew that the Team PCB was, you know, frayed at the edges, especially after that page bomb that was delivered a couple weeks ago to Charlotte, who was the NXT women, or I'm sorry, the Divas champion at the time. Yeah. And having them fall off the ring apron was definitely needed. So propelling the storyline forward, I'm down with that. How about that? So what is your thoughts on that? I thought it was fine.
I didn't like it. I you know, if you're going to push Paige, she cuts this great promo. The next thing you do is you have her win a string of matches. I just don't see the idea of having Charlotte do something petty for her to lose. That didn't make sense.
Oh, I thought it was great because it was like just desserts. You run your mouth. The two of them are going to do something catty. And yes, I did say catty to Paige, and Paige over there saying, I would never do that to you. I would never have left you. And of course, that's exactly what she did. So she's a liar. You know, her post-ring promo was just like, she pumps herself up with so much arrogance. I'm so better than you, and your reason why you're here is because your dad, which is everybody feels the same way, blah 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 blah. So she is pulling on that particular emotional thread, but yet calling them out when she did the very same thing to them was kind of apropos. So this is going to be very interesting to see how the women's division is and the infighting that goes on in the division.
Maybe I'm just upset with how they've done this so far, and I finally felt like they went a good direction with Paige, so I just felt like she'd go on a winning streak, and now she's on a losing streak. She lost at MSG. She lost on Monday.
Yeah, but it doesn't
– well, that surprised me. Maybe they're not pushing her like I thought they would.
Yeah, that may be the case, but I also understand that Paige might be in some heat backstage too.
You know, Manami Toyota wouldn't do the job. She would say, no, that doesn't make sense.
No. Well, she needs to maybe – buck up a little bit. That'll be interesting. So here we are, Jericho Owens, which to me was going to be a highlight of the show. And for me, it actually did not disappoint. I actually really enjoyed this match a lot. Yeah. Jericho called out that Don Callis was there. Lance Storm was
there. That was weird.
Why was that weird to you?
Because Don Callis getting called out in the front row, the jackal, the network guy from ECW, that was weird.
Yeah.
He called out Lance. They didn't show him. Then he called out Don Callis. I'm like,
They showed them both.
Right. But then, after Don Callis, they showed him in the front. I'm like, damn. I don't know. Maybe that just blew my mind. They showed Don Callis. I don't know why.
Yeah. And
I don't think they liked him very much.
Well, they shot him. And the other thing, too, is weren't they sitting next to Asuka? Was Asuka in the front row, too?
I believe so. Yeah.
I think that was her. But at any rate.
If I'm wrong, crucify me, IWC, see if I give a shit.
Yeah, yeah. So Owens wins in 8 minutes to retain the IWC title, the IC title.
Okay, you know what? It was a good match. They should have gave him 14. I don't know what's so hard about giving him 15 minutes or 14 minutes or 12 minutes. Eight's just too short. Let me tell you something that happened. This is important. At the point where they had the women's match, I was disappointed in the match. I look at old Terry. I said, you know what? I want to watch that. I haven't seen this yet. Shinsuke Nakamura just won the IWGP Intercontinental title back from Haruki Goto. I hope I'm pronouncing Haruki's name right. Mm. I said, let's watch that match real quick and take a break. So we watched this 25-minute match. And, of course, it's absolutely amazing. And these guys don't do any huge moves. They do one or two kind of scary suplexes. It's mostly just stiff shots, great psychology, brilliant match. We made a mistake doing that. By watching that in the middle, and it was the same day we watched Bound for Glory, we screwed up the whole day. Because the match blew me away more than any match I've seen in WWE this year, and it's still really the fifth or sixth best New Japan match I've seen this year, honestly, for the year. And then I go back and watch Owens Jericho. 6 or 7 minutes in, the crowd chants, this is awesome. And Terry looked at me and she goes, we shouldn't have watched that match just now.
No. I can't believe you did it, to be quite honest, because that would totally screw up your thought process.
I think forward. I was disappointed. I fucked up. That's why I'm telling the story.
Because honestly, when they started chanting, this is awesome, it was. And I really liked the drama they built in the match. The false finishes were great. And I thought they sold a lot of these high impact moves that were coming down. There was some really good stuff in there. So
it was the best match on this card, but it should have been longer. I'm not saying it should have been 23 minutes like the Goto match. I'm just saying that they owed it to the IWC to give them more time. But this just adds to my idea that he hates them.
Oh, my. Well,
he hates us, I should say.
Well, how about a team, Dudley Boys versus New Day? Look, Dudley Boyz win versus via DQ 6 minutes 40 seconds into the match. I want to New Day love, no doubt.
No doubt.
New Day is still great. I want to love the Dudley Boyz.
Sure.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
But you feel like their retro act has already worn out its welcome and it's time for them to just maybe work backstage.
You said it. I didn't want to say it.
Well, I said it weeks ago. I felt not Summerfest. were they at SummerSlam?
No, they weren't at SummerSlam.
No, they were right after that, right? Yeah. What was the last pay-per-view called? We just reviewed it.
Oh, shit. That was...
Extreme Rules Part 2. Whatever the last pay-per-view... Whatever pay-per-view.
Bound for Nosebleeds? I don't know.
The last match they had, I said they'll change the title here, or they won't do it. And then, but if they're going to do it, they got to strike while the iron's hot. And now I'm like, well, they're at MSG. I guess they'll do it here. They really didn't get a very good reaction, and they shouldn't win the titles. And DQs are stupid. And if that's them refusing to job backstage, I have no idea what to tell you. I am not a big Bubba Ray Dudley fan. I feel like, you know, there's a reason John Laurinaitis let the Dudley Boyz go in 2004 or 5, whatever year it was. I can't quite remember. But, you know, I just his backstage rep is that of a bully in that old hardcore Holly kind of way that we like. At the same time, it just doesn't work with this current crop of guys. And I think that's why Big E was beating his ass at that pay-per-view. I think he was like saying, you're a bully, I'm a big, big bully, you know.
Wow.
Match up with me.
I didn't read into that, but
well, think of that. That power, that splash he did on the apron was vicious. And then he was telling him he was an old man, and I can't even remember Bubba Ray Dudley getting it like that before. And D-Von is so slow, God bless him. He is so slow. They can teach guys psychology and ring psychology and tag team stuff and show guys how to get on time and all the important things about travel, like ECW, like they did. But there's no reason for them to vie for the titles.
Do you believe that maybe they're going the same speed that they had been going, but maybe right. we're so used to seeing the WWE being up a gear that's shown side by side that they seem slower. And I know that this is not the Dudley Boyz in their prime. Okay. This is not WrestleMania X8. Okay. This is not. Okay, or WrestleMania 2000, whatever the case is. It's not that era where the Dudley Boyz were really doing it up.
Right.
But it seems to me like maybe that's what they're trying to do with the tag division is slow it down a little bit. But when put next to New Day or another comparable team, like, Lord forbid, they go up against like a Cesaro Kid or maybe even an Usos or something like that when they come back, that – they have moved it in such a level in terms of a gear that the Dudley Boyz just seem like they're just relics at that point. And look,
I think you're right.
That is so disrespectful for me to say, because I take it back, but it just seems to me like they're operating on a lower gear where maybe they're selling, they're doing things differently, but it just seems to me that I'm not buying into this thing. Like, it seems to me like the chemistry is not there. Do you feel that way?
I feel like, well, this is what's weird. As Bully Ray in TNA, I felt like Bubba Ray Dudley was doing the best work of his career.
Absolutely. I love Bully Ray.
And then he came over and he's with D-Von and they look real slow.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got Neville, you got all these, you got quick guys now. Like all over the place. You know, Cena's pretty fast actually for his age. Rollins is incredibly fast. Owens at his size is fast. Everyone's quicker. Kofi Kingston's extraordinarily fast. The speed movement, that is.
Yeah, so, when they get across the ring,
they look old, and they're not that over. They don't need a belt. They need to do two or three favors for New Day. They need to do two or three favors for the Usos when they come back, and Cesaro Kid when they come back, and then they can go. And they can be on the road like Billy Gunn or something if they don't bully people, you know?
John Cena versus Seth Rollins.
Throw that away.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff.
Well, you know, this is another job for him, the champ. I just don't see why we have to constantly see Rollins jobbing. Seems like he's jobbed several times lately.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to see how many jobs he's done as champion.
Well, I mean, the two obviously that stand out would be obviously losing the U.S. title to Cena, and then once again as Cena retains it at MSG.
Right.
And that sets up the whole Kane that end up coming in on Monday night. So overall, I think the show was not the Japanese show by any means. I think there was something special about seeing the Japanese show for sure.
What about Lesnar's show?
Oh, shit. Lesnar's show. Did I miss that?
It is the quote-unquote main event, but I'm past not
it
really.
I'm past it. Well, yeah, a lot of people were disappointed at the placement of this particular match, and I knew that, you know, people were upset. It's like, well, they build it as him, you know, being the main event, and I said, not really. This event, that was part of the tour, but not the main event, which was definitely the... you know, the cage match between Rollins and Cena, which was not bad, by the way. But
no, the cage match was solid, no doubt.
Yeah, the cage match was very solid. Lesnar versus Big Show, for me, it is what it is. Big Show got offense early on, and then Lesnar cranked it up a notch, decides to bring Big Show to Suplex City.
Right.
You know, some high spots for me was multiple choke slams. Lesnar gets up, shakes it off, which the look on Lesnar's face was great. Big Show trying to get out of F5, but then ultimately getting F5 multiple times.
Sort of. Didn't get him up that first when he slipped off him. Yeah, that's a big old dude to get up. But, you know, Lesnar's at over to where he's at MSG. He drops a guy and makes a botch. And the crowd didn't really shit on him for it. He's pretty over when they don't shit on you.
No, because it looks real. And once again, Lesnar in 4 minutes, and then he comes back and then decides to once again hit Big Show with another F5.
Well, I'm more of a fan of the Kingston squash that Lesnar did, but you know, whatever. You know, that match, if it would have been awesome, coupled with the cage main event and then the Owens Jericho being a little longer, I probably would have gave this a thumbs up. But that match let me down. The Owens Jericho length let me down. In the cage match, I've seen a lot. And then the crowd was just kind of weird for a lot of matches. They were weird for the women's matches, Neville. They didn't really give the New Day Dudley's match a lot of love either. It's fun to watch these shows. I hope they keep doing them. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm glad they put them out. I just screwed up. I watched Nakamura, you know, in the middle. I screwed up.
That's what it is, man. That's what happened to you. Going in order, just really quick, some overall thoughts on TNA's Bound for Glory. I'm trying to call it up right now.
All right, well look, let me tell you something a little bit about this, okay? All right. I actually watched it, which is shocking.
You and I both, yeah.
Yeah, you know, not so much we know a lot of those guys and people in that organization. We want them to succeed. I don't understand why you would have Eric Young job clean. I don't understand why you would have Matt Hardy win clean pretty much. Well, it wasn't. Yeah, it was basically clean. I guess it wasn't his brother hit him with the whatever, Willow of the Wisp, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And then surrendered the title because of the injuncture he said was filed. I don't think he said that right.
I think he meant to say injunction.
Oh, I'm sure he did. It was sweet to have like his little baby who's like, what, 3 or 4 days old? How old was that baby?
Very, very young.
Very young baby. His wife... They brought out dad, who looked like a hard-ass North Carolina motherfucker, so that was cool. I got to give it up. Jeff Hardy looked ridiculous in his face paint, you know, like a referee thing. The match was not the main event quality I'm used to. We're used to a Tanahashi main event. We're used to a John Cena, Seth Rollins main event. We're used to Roderick Strong fighting Okada in Ring of Honor, maybe, you know, maybe Jay Lethal having a long match. That was not the type of main event that impresses me, first of all. Second of all, I understand they planned all this in July. I guess the tapings they did around July 22nd, they did a tournament, and they knew they were going to do this, and then he would give up the title, and then they would air this tournament, which features James Storm and Austin Aries and Bram. James Storm, who a friend of ours was, you know, may or may not have known something was going to happen.
Yeah, we can't really say, can we?
We won't say. Yeah. But we know that James Storm being in that tournament's really funny, right?
Yes.
Because he's no longer with TNA. So I don't really get the booking. I will give them credit for planning something in the future and doing it correctly. And I will give that piece of garbage, Billy Corgan, credit for planning something for 3 or 4 months and actually seeing it out and for having a backup plan in case their show remained on Destination America, trying to get another TV deal. That all worked out. They're taping shows in the UK. They still have life. Putting the belt on Fat Matt Hardy is a mistake. But if that's what they want to do, they ended Bound for Glory with a nice sentimental spot. I guess that's the best they could do. If I were the booker, I don't know what the hell I would do. We can have Drew Galloway win and raise the title and it's all emotional. That doesn't sound right. Ethan Carter's going to retain the heel wins. That's strange. That's all they could do. They're so depleted. That's all they could do. It's that goofy Matt Hardy win. I don't know why he relinquished it, but it's really much easier for him to lose the title. That's usually what happens with the belt. But
yeah, there was some weirdness going on there that I don't understand. But I have to give props to my boys in the X division. I thought that was a really good opening bout. Tigre Uno versus Everett, who was new. DJ Ion Zima and Manic. That was a pretty good thing, which I dig. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Divas match, because that was something I was definitely looking forward to. Gail Kim versus Awesome Kong.
Right.
And you told me that Kong was, I mentioned to you is that I was expecting more and it seemed to be a little bit short, but then you tell me that Kong was hurt.
Yeah. Kong has a very, very bad back, you know, and I'm sure if you watched it thinking about that, you would kind of notice her back. And Gail really is such a pro that she kind of walked her through it and got her through the match. I think they did a pretty good match given the circumstances.
Yeah, totally.
Still, know you would expect a much better match with Awesome Kong winning clean. I think that's what I expected. And then later I realized the situation. So yeah, that was a disappointment, but it is what it is. They can only work with what the booker gives them. And if you got a guy or a gal in there whose back is messed up, I don't care how tough she is, you can't do a lot of moves.
It was still very, very good and great. The other thing to me, you know, the Wolves always do well. So and that's a given. But I'm going to give, and it was good to see Bobby versus Bobby, Lashley versus Rude. You know, another solid match. This to me was not necessarily a pay per view that I will watch again. I'll probably never watch this again. But but I will give my props to Jeremy Borash. And so here's my boy Jeremy Borash. And
I know.
I thought his introduction of the main event was one of the best introductions of a main event ever. And I thought that he did probably one of the best ring announcement jobs that I've ever heard JB do in the history of TNA. And just because of the words, the verbiage that he used, introducing, you know, Jeff Hardy as a special referee, introducing the main event. I think the Pope had said, given this a very big match feel, I think it did. I think JB is a very underrated broadcaster. And I know that a lot of people may be giving him hell because he doesn't sound real. He sounds like he's a radio personality, but that's how he really talks, folks. JB really talks like that. And you know JB, right, Steven?
I know that you know him and Ebo and all those guys.
Well, I have to say that I met JB once in an airport and basically said, by the way, I'm a big fan and I appreciate your work. And he said, thank you very much. And he seemed, yeah, well, I, from one broadcaster to another, I can tell you that, you know, I'm a big, I appreciate what JB brings to the table. So I think they needed that in order to elevate that main event. So,
well, he slowly worked up his way within that company. You know, Don West was there for years, and I think we'd both agree that probably Don's style was a little overbearing at times. Mm-hmm. Did I put that well?
Well, he, I mean, you know, he came from the world of Home Shopping Network, you know, I mean.
You know, and it was just too much, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to, you know, Jim Ross, old school Tony Schiavone, Gordon Sully type of vibe. So it's a little hard for me to get into a wrestling announcer that's, you know, screaming and trying to oversell things to that degree. And Borash has, you know, been with that company for since the inception, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't he there at the end of Nitro?
Yeah.
The beginning of TNA, right? So he's been around the scene for over around 20 years, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think Borash used to work for WCW magazine, did he not?
He was there at the end. I know that. I don't think he ever was like, you know, they obviously had their little, their troupe said the Mike Tenay, Schiavone and Heenan thing. And
by the, and I have to say this too, man, we've got to maybe do some of our top announcers because Mike Tenay needs to be brought into that conversation. I think he's just, I dislike Mike Tenay.
I thought Tenay was really good when they introduced the idea of Lucha Libre and who the luchadors were in 97, mm-hmm. which really did a good job of building to the Halloween Havoc 97 match with Mysterio and Guerrero. I'm sure we'll talk about that on our Halloween episode where we're planning on talking about Halloween Havoc, which was one of the best things about WCW were those Halloween Havoc pay-per-views, which are consistently pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Except for like one, but
there was that. Well, and that overall was not bad. It was just that one match.
that match. Well, that's a ghost. See, we'll tell that ghost story on Halloween. But I mean, it's really, really scary.
Yeah. Well, thank God for the WWE Network to relive all those moments. But anyway, props to JB. Yeah. Really quick, WWE Takeover. Respect. I thought overall, we could go down, but we won't run down the entire thing. I thought it was very good. The Dusty Rhodes Invitational Tag Team Tournament was great. Finn Balor and Samoa Joe versus everybody on the roster. Fantastic. Finn did a great job selling his injury throughout. I thought that, another standout for me was, seeing Kevin Nash in the audience, that was interesting. But
they're always on those damn shows, aren't they?
I know, right? They love it. Asuka, I should say, versus Dana Brooke. Yeah. Okay, so that's good stuff. So go ahead.
Let me talk about that match.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, here we are again talking about Japanese wrestling. Yes. I know people are like, gee, Steve, you talk about Japanese wrestling a lot. You talk about Dr. Death, Mark, and then Nakamura is your favorite wrestler. Now you're talking about, okay, well, here's a wrestler from Japan, okay? Guess what? Finn Balor was Prince Devitt in New Japan, and he was the shit. You know, Hideo Itami was Kenta in Pro Wrestling Noah, and he was the shit. AJ Styles was in TNA Ring of Honor. He went to Japan. It's not so much the idea of the culture of Japan. It's the culture of how they teach people to wrestle and how they work, you know, and they're basically trained to die in the ring at all costs. And for Kana to come over and play this character, she was so over with the crowd. To me, she was taking it easy on her.
Oh, totally.
I really thought it was going
to outclassed at every turn.
Hilarious.
Yes.
She really didn't do anything very dangerous to her, which was nice. She didn't do any stiff. They said her strikes are fierce. She really actually proved she could work WWE style and not strike her for real, you know, like Nakamura's finisher. It wasn't like that. It wasn't, you know, Kawada getting his teeth kicked in. This was like WWE light, but to look good. She really, I was so happy she did such a great job. Let's just say this about the Divas Revolution too, okay? If there were a Divas Revolution or a Women's Wrestling Revolution, it would just happen. Things like that just happen naturally. You can't put a label on it, you know, and say, here is the Divas Revolution. It will happen because Sasha Banks will have all these great matches like she has. Or Kana has this great debut like she has, and people will just naturally notice it. Wrestling is the one art form where male, female actually kind of doesn't matter as much as other things. Because you go like, okay, this is a man. This is a woman, right? Well, here's the boogeyman. He's a monster with a clock. You see what I'm saying? It's just a wrestler is a wrestler. Mm-hmm. When I say Manami Toyota is one of my favorite wrestlers, it's because she's one of my favorite wrestlers. I think she's probably as good or better than Ric Flair at wrestling. I really mean that. I don't know if she's good at promos. I'm not really sure. I don't speak Japanese, you know. But I can tell you from a work rate that she is good or better than Ric Flair. Can have hour-long matches. That has nothing to do with her being a woman. It's simply what I enjoy watching with her. You know, that's what it really is. These are wrestlers who are good. It's not a corporate revolution, you know. That's my take on that. And I think Connor will just stay in NXT showing them how to work. But somebody better not screw up in there. Because if they do and they give her the go-ahead, I promise you she will beat someone's ass. Mm-hmm. And it'll be bad.
I want to see it when it happens, to be quite honest. And there will be a woman, I think, that'll say, you know, hit me with your best shot. No. There will be.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I believe so.
You better get out of the stable. It better be Crazy Mary with a staple gun then, because
yeah, somebody's gonna want it and someone's gonna get it. And I think it's gonna happen unbeknownst to the WWE, but it's something that they're going to talk about ahead of time. And when it comes a next takeover event, someone's gonna say, give it to me. Give it to me like you do in Japan, and then it's going to be all hell breaking loose.
Well, much like Shinsuke Nakamura, when she came here, he does the same thing. Like he'll do a match in Ring of Honor, or like I saw him do a match with Adam Page in I forget what it was, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or something. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was, and he didn't do any stiff strikes to the back of his head with a knee. He can do a dumbed down, but like a match that's not as vicious and be entertaining if he wants to and go down to their level. He'll never let them look better than him, but he can do that. And she knows how to do that too. So I think she'll have a great run. I'm so excited about that. You know me, I'm, it couldn't have gone any better. The crowd popped for her as big as anybody,
you know, and that to me, just signals the fact that the Full Sail crowd is a great wrestling crowd. Whereas in Orlando at TNA, when they were doing the tapings, you know, you had that mix of some wrestling fans, but then you also had the mix of tourists, and I think it ultimately hurt them. Right. It just wasn't the right environment for them, where Full Sail was completely different. And I really dig it. So Asuka, good time. There, Asuka wins in 5:23, and what a great debut for her!
Great facial expressions too, not just wrestling. She's got a lot
to offer. Hey, did you see Funaki and Hideo Itami ringside?
Yeah,
that was nice, right?
Yeah, it's nice to see Show Funaki.
Yeah, so Rhino and Corbin versus Finn Balor, Balor and Samoa Joe. There you go. So yeah, great match. That was great. But then we have Banks and Bayley. The end of the trilogy of matches, Iron Woman match. You said it didn't quite live up to your expectation.
No, why do you say that? No, it did live up to my expectation. I just thought the Brooklyn match was a little better and a little more emotional with the ending. I thought it was great. I thought I wouldn't expect any less from them. They're fantastic. It was the best match in the card. It was the best match I saw in America over the weekend. and it was really good. It was really good. And that Nakamura match took place a couple of weeks ago, by the way. But, you know, because it's hard to catch New Japan unless you know how that is.
Yeah. I think once again, the women brought it. I will be watching this again, if anything, for the tag team matches, the Rhodes family, by the way, we need to talk about.
Yeah.
And of course the women's match, but the Rhodes family there too, at the very end, very, very good, very touching. The tribute, the trophy, all of that was very good.
Oh, one more thing. Sasha did take a Dr. Death suplex this time. So I was
happy. She did. You're right. You're right.
I was happy that they did that, you know. It's dangerous, kids. You know, Misawa died in the ring, you know, because he took so many suplexes. But when done just right, when the head's tucked just at the last second, done on just the right occasion, like a main event, there's nothing more that'll get the crowd more into it than that, because it suspends that disbelief just for a moment. Oh my God, I think Sasha's dead. Mm-hmm. She just took a brutal suplex. You know that Dr. Death match I love to show with the Kenta Kobashi ending in the three suplexes? Well, he had a 5-star match a month after that with Stan Hansen. Mm-hmm. Same level of brutality. Mm-hmm. It's just something certain workers know how to do. And Sasha, I commend you for putting her in your top five. I wish I would have remembered that. Sasha's a great worker. I wish they would just go ahead and push her on the main show, but there is some sort of strange disconnect between Vince McMahon understanding what's going on in NXT. There's something there.
I don't think so. I think as much as I like it, I think this makes sense for now, because Sasha had to finish her program with Bayley to really cement Bayley, and that will be Bayley and Banks is the new Trish and Lita. Just so you know.
Oh, they're better than that.
Yeah, they're totally better than that. And you know what? Having Lita in the audience affirm it, yeah.
Okay.
Lita was there, and guess what? Lita approves.
Okay, here's some realness I'm going to drop on the crowd.
Okay.
From me to you, I feel like Lita was not a good worker. Just going to get real. I thought she was a little thuddish and dangerous, but I understand the sentiment, and that is beautiful. Mm-hmm. But my point is saying that is these girls have gone to a different level than Stratus. You know, for Trish Stratus to be beautiful and learn how to wrestle good as she went along was amazing. Yeah. It made Tori Wilson and Stacey Keibler and all of them look like shit, basically. Mm-hmm. She was kind of a combination of Ivory and Stacey Keibler in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, and Trish, and her best feud was with Lita, no doubt about it. But, you know, they're taking this to another level. I can tell that Bayley and Charlotte and Sasha and everyone, Becky, are watching the same Japanese matches, women's matches that I've watched. Yeah. You know, I can tell because they are going that sort of direction.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, you can definitely tell the influence there, but this is something that I've been saying for a long time, is that WWE had been looking to duplicate the success of Lita versus Trish,
right?
Because they've been looking, and they thought that they may have got it with AJ Lee and Chick Buster. Oh shoot. Damn it. Now I'm going to lose all my cred here because I had her on the tip of my tongue.
Who did AJ feud with? Oh, Nikki Bella?
Yeah. Well, no. That would be son of a bitch, man. Caitlin. So I think that was supposed to happen. And then I think all of a sudden there was injuries and Caitlyn got injured and there's and AJ's character took off. But I think at the end of the day, I think they really wanted to go there with AJ and Caitlyn, and it never happened because for some reason or another. But I think this is, I think, going to be the next evolution will be Bayley and Sasha Banks, and their rivalry will continue to live on for many, many years, because their chemistry is that good.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And if they want to keep it on deck, they should. I would like to see Banks instead of Ashley. What's her fake name? Charlotte.
Charlotte. Yeah.
Yeah. I always think Ashley Flair, because he always talked about her in his books and promos and stuff. But, you know, she's a good champion for now, but the long term, we need to see, you know, Sasha in there. I'm confused to go back to Paige why you would. I thought she cut such a great promo. I'm just surprised she would job right away. But they need to get that all put together. They haven't done it quite right, and they have so much to work with. You know, they're worried about these ratings being 2.3. You know, they have everything right there to repair it. Mm-hmm. It's right there in their hands. They just need to go ahead and stay the course with somebody. Mm-hmm. And you can say, well, they did it with Rollins, Steven. They took him out of NXT. They put him with the Shield, and then he won the title. Right, and now he's jobbed 45 times. You know, that's not acceptable to me. And honestly, I meant what I said. Some, like Manami Toyota, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, Stan Hansen, they'd say, I'm not doing a job. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
they wouldn't do it. I'm telling you, they would say no.
I wonder how, I mean, but then, you know, they would face the wrath, you know, these performers are doing what they're told, and whether it makes sense to their character or not, or their own sensibilities, they do it because if they buck against the system, they'll get put in a doghouse and de-pushed. You know, luckily it's worked out for New Day. You know, luckily it's worked out for, you know, yeah, John Cena for many years. But at any rate, I thought
Steve Austin used to be able to do that. I'm just saying, Steve Austin would say, "Hey, dude, I'm not doing that. That doesn't make sense to me."
And then you look at a legacy like Ric Flair, and he jobbed out to everybody. And look at him.
Absolutely, but you know, Ric Flair was the chicken shit heel. You know, so yeah. I don't know. Look, Ric Flair is a whole thing, man. He's the greatest American wrestler of all time. He was very, very special. I'm not saying the rule doesn't apply to him and jobs, but I'm just saying Seth isn't over enough to do those jobs. How about that?
Okay, yeah. Well,
over, but he's not over like, oh shit, we're going to Greenville tomorrow and Ric Flair is going to be so over that we're going to sell an extra 2,000 or 3,000 tickets if we put him in the main event.
That's true.
You need to get Seth to that level. You need to have confidence in Kevin Owens and let him do what he does. They've done it with him more than anybody else, honestly.
Well,
all he did was those Cena jobs.
And I believe Owens has it. You know, I mean, I'm critical on him that he could be tweaked just a little bit, and I still believe that. But
well, let me pose you this question.
Mm-hmm.
In the advent of the internet news that John Cena's leaving until December,
mm-hmm.
do you think that they'll give a strong push to Dean Ambrose or Kevin Owens or someone like that?
The face that's going to get the push is going to be Randy Orton.
You really?
I've been saying that Randy Orton is the understudy for John Cena and has for a while. And the fact that Sheamus is still out there with the case means that there may be more of the same coming our way. That's exactly what they're waiting for. And there it is. Cena leaves for a few weeks. Here comes Randy Orton taking up slack on the main event. They introduced Mr. Money in the Bank, Sheamus, as a tease to that going on. So that to me looks like a perfect program to plug him in the short term while Cena is gone.
I can see that. Now Orton's over.
Totally.
You know, so that's one guy that's over.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get a guy over like Orton or Cena is. They need to get a guy over to that level.
And it's going to be someone in the Shield. And that's where Jericho will come in, and they're going to make a man out of they're going to make somebody. Jericho's going to make someone a made man, whether it's
Well, Kane against Rollins is where we're getting on top.
Yeah, totally.
Do you like this comedic sort of foil?
Oh, I do like Kane. Yes.
Okay, because you know that we've cursed the WWE with our show, right?
Yes, totally.
Okay.
So why don't you bring everybody up to speed? Because when you told me about this, I freaked out a little bit.
All right. This is from April 22nd, 2015. This would have been weeks after Rollins' title win. And maybe a week or two after Brock Lesnar murdered Michael Cole, which is really seems like a long time ago in show quality. And this is me and Al John eerily fucking ourselves over by making this suggestion. This is April 22nd.
WWE TV a lot.
He debuted in 95 as Isaac Yankum.
Yeah.
So that's 20 years straight.
20 years, my God, man.
No break.
No break. And his character, and I was really worried for his character, and he comes out like a ball of fire, cuts an awesome promo.
See, there you are telling everyone that Kane cuts awesome promos as a babyface. Okay,
that's true.
Screwed that up. Okay,
yeah, but I believe that. Yeah,
I'm sure. I know you do. But here you go.
About how Seth Rollins wouldn't be in his position if it wasn't for him. And God, man, it was good. That was a highlight of the show, seeing him talk like that with that fire. You know,
highlight of the show. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's all leading to a swerve on all of us, and I think it's obvious. But what's sad is, to me, they could turn him babyface, put him in the mask, and feud him with Rollins for about a month, and it would be pretty good.
It's pretty good, actually, what's happening. You will watch.
It is good.
It's going to go on for a month. At least we know that.
Well, this is the Halloween gimmick, right? Isn't it? You know, you got the guy in the mask and dragon to hell. You got the fire extinguishers, smoke machines.
Yeah. So here I am saying this like I'm so fucking smart in April, and now it's happening, and I'm like, that's your main event? it's real easy to talk, you know, and say, well, they should do this or that, but when you actually see something you've thought of that would be awesome and then they do it and you don't think it's such a great idea anymore, well, then that means that I'm not, as I've said, I shouldn't be a booker, you know, because I'm just talking and talking. But anyway, at least Seth Rollins has an opportunity to beat somebody by feuding with Kane.
Crazy.
What if he wins by DQ or something or a run-in? I mean, I can't believe weaker than he was booked as a non-champion, if you really think about it.
Well, the rough part about this time of the year is that you have the fall season premiere, and in just a few weeks, you have the holidays. And the holidays is a problematic time for WWE because, you know, and it's a problematic time for everyone that ever watches TV, because after a few weeks, all the shine is gone. And you're left with the holidays and the anticipation of the holidays, and TV viewership does drop during that time.
Well, they got that football kicking their ass too thing happening.
That's right. Well, football does remain to be king. And to be quite honest, with all of the different ways to consume WWE programming on demand, that's where football wins, because you have to know what the scores are. You have to see it live in order to do it. You can DVR Raw and feel like you're not missing out on something because there isn't another show going head to head during the Monday Night Wars where you have to see it. You know that you can go back and watch it on demand a couple days later and not miss anything.
Right. But and here's the real key element. I think you pointed it out. Now, do you know a bigger wrestling mark than me for probably.
No, you're the biggest I know.
I'm ridiculous. And I watch mostly old things.
Right.
Right. Okay. So I'm watching Clash of the Champions, where the Steiner brothers are fighting Dr. Death and Terry Gordy. And no one even watched it in 92 when it happened.
Right.
Okay. But see this hat, this LSU hat? When LSU plays. Like when LSU played the Tennessee Volunteers in 2010, the ending of the game was so insane, so ludicrous, so unpredictable, so full of insanity. And I mean, I literally almost had a heart attack. Like I really did almost have a heart attack. That's how exciting a football game can get live. And wrestling live doesn't have that impact unless it's the only thing come even close I can think of live would have been Lesnar against Reigns, not knowing the ending. And that's really just one moment the whole year that WWE has offered. Not that that's a bad thing. That was a tremendous match. And when we do our top matches of the year, I'm sure it'll be on there. It was a great match. But that's the deal. Football's a real special thing, and it's hard to go against it, especially when you've been watching for 30 years like me, or maybe 70 years if you're from Detroit. I mean, you might have.
And that's a thing, you know. And once again, you go back to WrestleMania, and then I go back to The Undertaker losing the match against Brock. And that was, I mean, people tune in to watch, you know, the buy rate is so big on WrestleMania for traditional pay-per-views typically because people have to see it because it's a spectacle and there are only things that you can see there at WrestleMania that makes it so special. These other B shows, pay-per-view shows and WWE Raw, it all looks the same to me. They don't put in the extra effort anymore of making their shows look different.
Right.
You know? So there's nothing really special about them, but you know, then again, everyone has it on demand viewing and network viewing and everything like that. So, and that's fine too. But when there's other ways to catch up with a network and see what happened on pay-per-views and you have the network and, you know, someone said, I don't watch Raw anymore. I just watch the pay-per-views on the network because that's how you get caught up. Why the hell not? It makes sense, right? I mean, yeah. people have a very limited time schedule and the 3-hour Raw is fucking horrible because it takes up your whole night. I mean, that's a lot of time to watch, you know, look at
it. Change it for 2 years though.
Yeah. You've got
changing.
But anyway, it's the same argument we've had forever.
It ain't changing. So, I mean, that's the way it is. And you know what? They better hope they can figure out what to do then. And they better hope they can figure out what to do now because their ratings are very fucking low. You know, they did a 2.3. I was telling you as we were preparing for the show, Ultimate Warrior, the skit they dissed so much on DVDs about the one he did on Nitro against Hogan and Bischoff.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, the rating just tanked during it. Did a 6.3 against a Raw that was doing in the fours and against a football game. And all they can do now is a 2.3. So something's wrong with their TV. By the way, their pay-per-views have consistently been good this year. Better than any year I can really remember in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm a fan of the 90s, mid-90s stuff especially. Not so much Russo era. But consistently the pay-per-views have been good, and that's enough to keep me going. I buy the app. I pay for the app. Mm-hmm. I want them to have my $10. Mm-hmm. I feel that way. I'm like, here, take the $9.99 because I want that thing up. I need that thing up. I need to have that library up to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I need them to add more things to it. That's what I want from them. So if the Raw show sucks, whatever.
Yeah.
But maybe a lot of people feel that way too.
Well, during Nitro Week, they did put up another 100 hours of Raw of Nitro, which was
They had the 95-96 up, and now they've added pretty much the gravy period of the NWO, which is 97, and then they have 98 up until about maybe April, which is kind of when the show started to suck. So they've really, I mean, but those, for folks out there with the network, I promise you, those 97 Nitros are chock full of Ultimo Dragon, Dean Malenko, Psicosis matches and the undercard, and then really, actually very well-written angles for WCW, especially involving the Outsiders and things like that, and of course, Glacier's on there, too. But, I mean, those are really good shows.
Yeah, well, speaking... Well, speaking of Glacier, we do have Halloween coming up, and we do have some really cool programming planned for you leading up to Halloween. So hopefully let us know what your favorite scary boo bad match was, maybe some of your favorite costumed character gimmicks and Halloween Havoc moments. So definitely check that out in our Halloween show that's coming up next time. Let's wrap this baby, put her to bed with our promo of the week. This one is coming from Iron Sheik, Mean Gene Okerlund, WWF era, and Nikolai Volkoff as they were tag teaming. And Iron Sheik loves to use the word punk. So let's go ahead and play this. This is our promo of the week.
Promo of the week.
Team action. As a result of that, we have singles matches coming up this Monday night. It's going to be Corporal Kirshner, as you know, Nikolai Volkoff, going against this man, the Iron Sheik. Welcome back to Miami.
Thank you very much, in mean intelligent American in Miami, wrestling city. Anytime I go, the respect, the Sheik, they said, welcome to the Miami. But the dumbest one, the fattest one, I saw the bring the American flag, and everybody call USA, USA Corporal Kirshner. Remember, you punk, I call you a punk. I just want to know what Olympic gene Corporal Kirshner been. How many people Corporal Kirshner he beat in America? No. all American wrestling city, Miami. We're gonna find out one more time. The Iron Sheik always the best, and still gonna be the best. Russia number one, Iran number. What do you want to ask me?
Well, Rome, as the Romans do, Miami is in the good old U.S. of A., and certainly you're gonna find that out.
What's
this
good
night.
About? Last time he was in Miami, we defeated Corpo Krishna and Spivey. We beat him down for 1, 2, 3, fair and square. And this time, we go prove all you Americans there that my part is Iron Sheik, go beat Corpo Krishna right in the middle. 1, 2, 3, and I go finish the Spivey, man, because he did not belong in the ring. That's right, Sheik.
You
did not belong.
Right. Look at the old boy.
You don't
belong in the ring.
Wow, Gene Mean.
I love it. Absolutely love it.
You know, people talk about the Sheik for his sort of crazy Twitter antics and his cursing and his drug use, but I mean, people forget that he was a legitimately good promo, and he was a legitimate main eventer, and he was the world champion at a time when being the world champion was pretty hard to get, even as a transitional champion. I would tell folks to go watch that Iron Sheik documentary we mentioned at the very beginning. And that was a good example. Now, what's funny is I thought he was going to say it. He has said it in WWF promos before where he'll say, "Mean Gene, you are intelligent Jew businessman." Have you ever heard him say that?
I have heard him say that.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say that there, but he left it out. So it always boggled my mind that they would allow that to be said on a show basically geared towards children, but that's my point. That promo didn't even need all that in it. It just was
it's once again just the best of the Iron Sheik, and
he hates the USA. That's pretty obvious.
Iran number one, Russia number one. I love it.
Russia's number one. Well, good things we don't. It's just a good thing because that was 30 years ago now. It's a good thing we no longer have problems with Russia or Iran.
Yeah, for that matter. How timely is that? Yeah. Once again, this wraps up our pro wrestling cast. People can check out Mr. Stephen Anthony at Dr. Deathmark on Twitter. You can also follow me, Aljon, at Aljon Rocks, as well as P Wrestling Cast on Twitter. We're also found on Facebook. Your one-stop shop for everything pro wrestling cast is prowrestlingcast.com, WWE Shop, WWE Network, highspots.com, and also Amazon. So bookmark that page, prowrestlingcast.com, and support our weekly show. We do appreciate it. And big ups to our podcast host, We Be Geeks Network. Tons of great podcasts there for you to check out. Both of my Disney shows on there as well, WDW After Dark, WDW Teak Room, and of course, Pro Wrestling Cast, among other shows like Mighty Marvel Geeks and We Be Geeks, all about pop culture and the world we live in, shown through the eyes of a geek fanboy. So please check that out. A lot of really cool stuff there as well. Any closing thoughts for this week's show as we move on next week to our Halloween special? Our specials? Halloween specials to come?
Specials. Several of them. Because Halloween's in like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. It's Rocktober, so we're going to rock out, you know.
Yeah,
we'll
rock out Halloween.
We're going to rock out. We're going to probably do the next week, probably the Halloween gimmicks and scary, our top five. We usually do a top five list. So we'll probably do that. And then we'll work on the following show, talking about our best Halloween Havoc moments. And then last but not least, we'll do our most scariest boo bad things that happened in the ring.
Well, if you really want to go there, because some really scary things have happened in the ring.
Scary things, bad things, maybe not horrible death.
Maybe
things,
like really,
maybe we'll be a little bit lighter. I don't know.
Show might be too scary
because we might, you know, we're there. There is some really dark stuff that happened in the wrestling ring, and maybe we'll go there. Why don't you just tell us what you want?
We already talked about one of them, but don't bully Stan Hansen.
Don't bully Stan Hansen. The other thing too, we won't talk about the whole Rey Mysterio thing that happened.
No, we're not gonna go. We're not gonna go in those sorts of directions.
We're not gonna talk about that. So anyway, but we will talk about Rey Mysterio and Halloween Havoc.
Goodness! Now that may be. Oh wait, I can't say that yet.
So anyway, okay.
See, I'm giving up. I'm doing the next show already. All right, so the Night Stalker comes out.
So the show has come to an end. Thank you so much. Don't forget to tuck your head. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently holding for further traffic clearance.
MagicalJourneysVacations.com for all your vacation needs. Disney, Universal, cruise lines, and more.
Thank you for traveling with us.
MagicalJourneysVacations.com.
Have her book your magical vacation today.